And we're going to start, this will be part three in this series of lessons about exposing heresies. And you need to have your Bible in front of you. That's the only thing that trumps somebody with an exciting message. You know, it turns out to be a heresy. It's something added to the Word or taken away. But the Word of God is the only thing that will show it to be, you know, what show the heresy to be heresy and what God says to be true. So let's start off here. If you can open your Bibles, get your Bible pen to mark verses that either contrast or that parallel each other. We're starting here with Romans 9, 3 and 4. And then we'll go to Ezekiel. But let's look at this background for the question that's at hand. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption. And he mentions six, Paul mentions six things here, pertaineth, who are, these pertain to Israel, he's saying, the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. So each of those items is different. Just brief review here as we head into, we already handled, talked about the promises, but each one is different for Israel than it is for the body of Christ. They're mentioned in Scripture separately, the different aspects of them. Adoption, glory, covenants, giving of the law, service of God, and promises. And we talked about the promises yesterday. That's where we had to stop because of time. But we'll start with the fifth one. We're working our way up from the bottom of the list there. We talked about promises. We'll talk about service of God today. Israel's service of God will be when they are a holy nation, what they're called to be. We find out when that'll be as we read here. we'll read these upcoming verses in a moment. But when Israel is a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a peculiar treasure unto the Lord, at that time, in the future, Israel will no longer be not God's people, as they are now. At that time, they will be God's people. God will transform them. Look at these verses, starting in Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen, and I will gather you from, I will gather you out of all countries, and will bring you, I'm having a little trouble reading. I might need to enlarge this a bit here. There we go. Just covered over my verse poster. But let me start that verse over. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you unto your own land. And it's theirs because God gave it to them, starting in Genesis 12. But going on with Ezekiel 36, verse 25, then will I sprinkle you. Excuse me, I added or left out some words. So let me do it again. It's so important that we read what God actually said. I mean, we have that in our hands in the King James Bible, and I don't want to mess it up. Let's read again. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. Do you see the difference there? Instead of them making themselves righteous by trying to keep the law, which they were told to do, so they would see that they can't and they need a Savior, at that time God will do it for them, just like He does it for us now. He imputes His righteousness and takes our sin. Well, it's the other way around. He can't impute His righteousness to us until our sin is gone. And it's gone when when we trust Christ to have died for our sins. Back in 33 AD, He died for every one of your sins that you'll ever commit. So But for Israel, that doesn't happen at the time they believe. They have to endure to the end. And at this time that it's talking about here, yet in the future, God will make them clean. He will sprinkle them with clean water. Ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Do you see these I will, I will, I will? It reminds you of Satan saying, I will ascend to the Most High. I will, you know, his challenge to God. But here God is saying, I will make Israel something good, and he does it in a progress of events, in a progression here that will eventually retake authority back from Satan, the authority of the earth, of the world, Satan took away from God and God's man in the garden from Adam when Adam and Eve sinned, or God called their name Adam. So going on with verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. There again, he's making it happen in them. They will have a new ability to please the Lord and to do all of his will, all of his law, all of the time. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Do you see the reversal there of the way things are now? God is going to make it happen. That's in verse 28. And then we can go down to Hosea 1, verse 10. You can see that it's prophesied that it will turn around. Hosea 1:10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, talking about my people still, yet the number of the children of the Israel, verse started out, yet the number of the children of Israel. So he's still talking about Israel. He says, yet it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. And Hosea 2, verse 23, and I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy, and I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. So people today try to apply that to us and say that, well, God is saying that you, us Gentiles that were not declared God's people, were God's people. No, you can't claim that. That, you know, God doesn't let that happen. God meant what he said here. He's talking about his people and the time when they were called not my people. And when they said, that is the time in which we are now. This dispensation of the grace of God, where God issues grace to save anyone that will believe that Christ died for his sins and rose for his justification. But it wasn't that way back then. That wasn't the gospel that was offered. God was offering a kingdom gospel, a gospel of a coming kingdom and the king. And they had stipulations, they had laws to show their faith. And sometimes they did the laws, but didn't have the faith. The law was not produced by faith. It wasn't acceptable. Dead works, God calls it. So let's go on. We're going to look at Romans 9, verse 25 and verse 26, starting with Romans 9, 25. And he saith also in OC, and that's, again, comes from the Hebrew, Hosea, into the Greek, and the, as they translated it into the Greek, the proper Greek spelling apparently was O-S-E-E, and so we get it translated from the Greek to us as O-C. But he's talking about Hosea. And let's see, as he saith also in O-Z, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So that's a restatement. Paul is restating what Hosea prophesied back then, restating it to all that be in Rome. That he's writing to all that be in Rome, Romans 1:7. We don't need to go there, but what a transformation that is going to be. But it's in the future. It's a future transformation that God will accomplish at his own timing. And he will not be deterred. Even though Satan tries to exterminate Israel. He tries to mislead people and put the lie out there and call it, you know, slap a word on the cover that says Bible. We do have an error-free Bible. We do have God's Word delivered to us today. Error-free. The Bible says that God will preserve His Word pure forever. So we do have it. But that transformation, that future happening for Israel is very different for the body of Christ. The body of Christ is enabled to serve now. We have that enablement from God. In Romans 12, verse 1, let's take a look. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, so he's talking to brethren in this case. He directs his statements to various segments as he writes to all that be in Rome. And here he's talking to brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, that can't be directed to all that be in Rome. That part is directed to those who have gone through Romans 1:1 through Romans 8:39, and believe the gospel that Paul presented, and they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And these people, he goes on after explaining why you can't be saved Israel's way anymore in Romans 9:11, he says here, starting in chapter 12, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies, since you are part of the body of Christ, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, it's your reasonable service. And be not conformed, this is verse 2, conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 1, verse 2. So we can see there the service of God, going back to Israel's part, the service of God was that what's going to happen. Let me be more clear about that. In the verse we started with, Romans 9:3-4, Paul is talking about Israel and the aspects of Israel. And one of those aspects is that Israel serves God. They have a service of God. So it's not talking about service in general. You might go to a service for God or something on a Sunday. It's not talking about that. So their service is empowered by God, it's generated by God when God does all this for Israel in the future, when he makes them his people again. It says right there in Hosea, it says Hosea 23, let me just repeat it, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. That's their position now. And I will say unto them which were not my people, that's Israel. It's talking about Israel all through here. This is Hosea talking to Israel. Thou art my people. So then they will be his people. And we read all those transformations in Ezekiel 36, 24 and on that he left the room. Okay, well, I was doing a little extra review there, hoping that he would... The Word of God is powerful. But anyway, that completes that part of the question. I didn't read the question either, and I'm not sure I could find it right now, but we're going to go through these and show how different. See, he was saying that this Mr. J that was presenting this heresy was saying that the adoption of God applies to us, and that he was saying it's all the same, that there's only one adoption, that there's only one promise, the promise of the land, and we're part of the kingdom and all that stuff. It's the same as the Acts 2 and Acts and crucifixion positions, that salvation was starting to be preached to all people at the crucifixion or the resurrection or at Acts 2. That didn't occur. If you read, you don't find our gospel until Paul was saved by it in Acts 9. They were all given the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of Christ, that Christ was crucified for your sins and risen for your justification. Believe it. Believe on him to life everlasting. So we're going to the next part. We started at the bottom of the list there. That slips my mind now. One, two, hold on. Let me just look at it. Yeah, promises. And then we just talked about the service of God, that God generates that service for him, and it's different from our service now. The service of Israel is when, during the millennium, when he is on the throne and empowers them. So the next thing is the giving of the law. Before giving the law of Moses to the people, to Moses to give to the people, God said in Exodus 19, verse 9, it's good, it's on the screen there, and the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. They needed a sign. Israel requires a sign. So he said, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear. And when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So at the end of God's Ten Commandments, God tells Moses who the Ten Commandments are for. In verse, this would be Exodus 20, verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, The Lord said unto Moses, Thus shalt thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I talked with you from heaven. So God gave the law to Israel, and we also see in Malachi 4:4, Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel. So it was, the law was given to Moses for all Israel. It was to be given to Israel with the statutes and with the judgments. That's Malachi 4:4. We can go now to Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. Romans 3, verses 1 and 2. And let me scroll up here a bit. that reads, What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there in circumcision? And he goes on in verse 2 and says, Much every way, chiefly because unto them, unto Israel, the Jews, were committed the oracles of God. So Paul confirms that the law was given to Israel, not to all people. And, you know, some of these people that come in and, you know, blurb statements, they don't understand, they don't listen, they don't come in to find out, they just assume that we don't believe the law was given to Israel, that we think it was given to us and that we took Israel's place or something. No, that's not the way it is. The law was given to Israel. Romans 2:14, For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. You know, you could call that conscience if you want, or something else, but you know, talking about behaving Gentiles that behave. But the giving of the law was to Israel, not to us. So there is a place, I don't have the verse here, maybe somebody else can pull it up, but that says that we, how does it go now? We have the righteousness of the law, I think is what it says. We don't have the law, we have the righteousness that the law points to. The law is a witness, it says, of the righteousness of God. When it's talking about the righteousness of God, and Paul, when Paul is talking about it, he says the law witnessed it. Well, yes, the law is to show what God's righteousness, the extent, the, you know, the utter holiness of God, and that we fall far short of it, and they did too, Israel. And as we find out in Romans 3, it's to show us that we have sinned, that all have sinned, not just the Gentiles, but all, including Israel too, had sinned. So let's go on. Up the list, the next one would be the covenants. Israel, and we're going to look in Exodus 19:5 for this. Israel's covenant with God was conditional, and it involved Israel's kingdom on earth, in the land. Was very conditional. We'll see that in a minute here. Let's look at these verses. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then, so there's an if and here's the then, ye shall be a peculiar people unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. That's all contingent on that if you will obey my voice and keep my covenant. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Not thou, the reader, not you and me, not you hearing the words of it today. Thou, Moses, that God was speaking to. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. It's so important that you get the context and realize who is being spoken to in each case in Scripture, and not just grab a promise that was made to somebody and say, God promised it to me, God's a liar if he doesn't do it. Well, God's not the liar. You're lying to yourself if you don't, you know, study it enough to see who the promises were made to. Verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. They said, they agreed to that conditional covenant. And Israel's conditional covenant also included righteousness, the righteousness of the people. Deuteronomy 6:25. Let's look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25. And it shall be, this is Israel's response, and they say, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. What does their righteousness depend on? It depends on them doing all these commandments, in the words in the verse there, all these commandments. That's all the time. Well, they didn't do it. They needed the sacrifices and things to hold them over until Christ, the Lamb of God, came. So Israel's righteousness, though, depended on if they would observe to do all these commandments, not just doing more right than wrong, as people try to say, well, God will let me in. And you better listen to what God says about who he's going to let in before it's too late. Regarding covenants, the difference between Israel and the body of Christ is easy to see. God made a covenant with Israel. God made no covenant with the body of Christ. We depend on God's grace alone to save us. And anyone today. Israel has been cast away. They've been blinded. You can read it for yourself in the last half chapter of Acts. And after that, the only way to be saved is the way that God saved, started a pattern by saving Paul, Saul of Tarsus at the time, in Acts 9. You can't find our salvation before Acts 9. You can find God offering a kingdom to Israel and the gospel of the kingdom that the Israel's 12 apostles was sent out to teach and was told that they would not get out of Israel with it. They weren't to go to all the world yet. That was a future event that's yet to happen. But we don't have a covenant here in this this dispensation that God gave to Paul to give to us. All right, next item up, the second one, item from the top, actually, the glory. God gave glory to Israel. Is that our glory, too? To determine if Israel and the body of Christ share the same glory, let's determine if the same event is associated with the glory of both Israel and the body of Christ. First, we'll see what Scripture says about Israel and their glory. When is their glory, and what is it? Isaiah 60, verse 1, and we'll go through verse 3. Arise, shine. This is Isaiah, prophet of Israel, speaking to Israel. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The light, and we've studied, you know, a few weeks ago we studied the light. The light of the world is Jesus. And following the light through Scripture, and here was one of the passages we used. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. But they rejected their light of the world. Anyway, verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. That's what's happening now. It happened when they rejected their king. For Israel, they're the people. Gross darkness covers the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. This has nothing to do with the body of Christ. This is Old Testament. The body of Christ was a secret. It was a mystery. It was not revealed until Acts 9, starting in Acts 9, and many abundance of revelations after that. To Paul, only to Paul. But here, when you're reading in the Old Testament, it's talking about Israel and about Israel's kingdom and about Gentiles at that time, at the time of Israel's rise to their kingdom, that Gentiles will be involved. It's not talking about this dispensation now where all people are together and there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile. So he says, I better start with verse 2 again. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Well, Israel fell. They're not rising. They did rise, but they rejected their Messiah, and they blasphemed the Holy Ghost in Acts 7. And that was the unforgivable sin when they fell. And this is not describing anything during the fall of Israel. The fall of Israel is described by Paul in Romans 11 and other places. So here we see that Israel's glory will be when they receive their Messiah, the light of the world, in their millennial kingdom. Look down a little further into Isaiah 62, verse 2. Let's look at Isaiah 62, verse 2, and let me just check the text here. Okay. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, talking to Israel again, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name, and shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land, calling it Israel's land, thy land, any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, And thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. to determine, that's certainly the glory of Israel there. That's when their glory will be. What about our glory? The glory, to determine if that glory of that event is the same glory that pertains to the body of Christ, let's discover what event is associated with the glory of the body of Christ. And we can see the glory of the body of Christ in at least these verse sections. We'll look at Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 10 to 13 and verse 21, and then we'll look at Colossians 1, 27. Starting in Ephesians 3, verse 10. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Well, okay, it's not talking about people there. It's talking about principalities and powers. That would be angelic or cherub. That would be angels. That would be Satan. That would be his devils. Unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. There's a high calling for the church, a high position, high thing for us to do, mission. To make known to principalities and powers in heavenly places, made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Just being us, being baptized by one Spirit into the one body of Christ, shows to all those principalities and powers how wise God is, his manifold wisdom. According to the eternal purpose, verse 11, Ephesians 3, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Again, verse 10, Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. The glory of the church, the body of Christ, is to make known God's manifold wisdom to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Now, while we're here, the church, the body of Christ, at this present time, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Then let's jump to Colossians 1, verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's not a reference to the future, but it's present tense. Is present tense, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the hope of future glory is Christ in you now. That's your glory. So Israel's glory is in the future, in their kingdom, whereas the glory of the body of Christ is right now. They are and have to be different glories. They cannot be the same glory. We have glory in showing to the principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. That's right now. Israel's glory is when God brings that glory, the glory of the light of the world, to Israel again. Last thing, the adoption. Finally, we get back to the question at hand in Romans 9:4. Does the adoption pertain to Israel, as Mr. J. Laid the trap, had the loaded question there? Are we part of the adoption? Well, we have our own adoption. We already went through that. The children of Israel. Let me read the verse again. Romans 9, verse 4. who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. And we went through each of those and showed that it's different for Israel than that item is for the body of Christ. The children of Israel were called God's son. We'll look in Exodus 4, chapter 4, verse 22 for that. Excuse me just a minute. Hold on, please. Thank you. Exodus 4:22, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord." So the Lord is telling somebody, it turns out it's Moses, to talk to Pharaoh and to say, "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn." That's the first time I heard that. That was startling. God himself calling the nation of Israel his son, his firstborn. Israel has since that time, they have become not God's people by rejecting their Messiah and blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And we see the prophecy of that in Hosea 1:9. You're posting something off topic here. Let me just see what you posted, and it's a long post. Hold on. Matthew 4, Jesus and Satan show faith in what was written before their face off, or the great temptation. Would you agree that all things confirmed written after them, according to John 14:30, is subject to that which Jesus speaks of? I just don't understand your question. I don't know. Hold on to that question until we get done with the lesson, please. Okay, so thank you. All right, we're going back here. I think we were up to Hosea 1:9, and that's the turn in events there. Israel, God called Israel my son, my firstborn. And here we see that there's a prophecy in the future from Hosea, that Hosea is prophesying that in Hosea 1:9, "Then said God, call his name Lo Ammi, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." Israel will again be adopted as sons of God. Look at Hosea 1:10 and 2:23. We've read them before, but it applies here. Let's look. God says in Hosea 1:10, "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said of them, you are not my people, said of them," the children of Israel referenced in the first line of verse 10. It's talking about Israel, not about the Gentiles. It says, "In the place where it was said of them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them," same people, "you are the sons of the living God." And verse 23 in chapter 2 of Hosea, Hosea 2:23, "And I will sow her unto the earth, unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God." So there is a turnaround. There was a turnaround. Things are not like you read them to be in Exodus and Chronicles and through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, etc. Things are not like that now. There was a turn when in Acts 7, there was one turn, and it was completed in Acts 28, the end of Acts 20, the last half of Acts 28. That is going to be turned around here according to God in the future. They are not God's people now. The way to God is not to come through people that are not God's people, and that God says, "I will not be your God." Let me get the wording of that right here. "You are not my people, I will not be. I don't find it. that's close, though. You are not my people, there will be said. I don't have it right here, and I'm not sure where it is. I think it's in the verse before, isn't it? Hosea 1:9. Let's see. Yeah, you are not my people, and I will not be your God. So don't try to come to God when he's not their God. Don't come through Israel. Come the way that God provides. He's offering it to you. It's clear, the last thing that God said to us is not on the Mount of Olives when he left Israel and the 12 disciples and said he would return. It's not there. The last words he said to us started in Acts 9, at least a year later, when he saved Paul, Saul of Tarsus, and began making many great and wonderful revelations to him about us, about how all people can be saved today. And that won't last forever. We're told that that's going to end when the Lord comes down to the air and we meet the Lord in the air and he takes us to heaven, to our home eternal in the heavens. And then that triggers the beginning again of Israel's prophecy fulfillment according to Romans 11:25. That's the until in Romans 11:25, that limits how long Israel will be blinded and cast away as they are now. Their prophecy, their time clock will start again. Daniel's 70th week will start again. They ticked off, excuse me, I didn't mean it the way it sounded. Those years ticked away 1 year at a time, you know, through those 69 weeks of years, 483 years, and the 70th week was just beginning when they were cast away, and it stopped. It was put on hold. That clock was suspended, and it will start again when the church is caught up to be with the Lord, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. So Israel was given the power to again be adopted as sons of God. When will that power be executed? When the Lord returns and empowers them. But at that time, when he was offering it, in John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. Who did he come to? He came to his own. And we see rejection throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But there were a few, a little flock, that did receive him. As many as received him, of those that he came to, now let's keep it in context, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become. He didn't give them the power of sonship. He gave them the power to become the sons of God. You see the difference? They didn't become sons at that time. They were given the power to endure to the end, to in the end be saved. And that's verified several times in 1 Peter, and in Acts 3:19-21, they had to endure to the end. Matthew 24:13 and Matthew 10:22. So he says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His name was important. They couldn't say, no, you're a fraud, and be included in the ones that have the power to become sons of God. The ones that had that were given that power were the ones that said, that believed on his name. Jesus is that Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. They believed on him, his identity, who he really was. Verse 13, which were born, there's that born again. They were born. They had been born. They were the Son of God, the firstborn. They lost it. But here, they will be born again as a nation. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God will do it, as we read there in Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 24. So, although Israel is given the power to become sons of God, they must endure to the end to be saved. Look at Matthew 10:22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And we saw that happen you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The disciples that did believe had to go into hiding. But Jesus goes on to say, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's a future salvation. They weren't saved at the moment they believed. Like we are, there's a difference. We're not Israel. Israel's not us. We have different conditions, different situations, different doctrine given to us. It's given through Paul, not by Jesus to Israel. It was still a secret then. God was keeping that secret. After Christ went back to heaven, then he began revealing that secret to Paul. Hidden wisdom, it's called. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 8 explains it, and it explains why it was kept secret. But let's go on to Isaiah. Let's take a look at Isaiah 2, verse 2. Israel's kingdom is not until the last days. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Once again, when the Bible refers to Israel's adoption, then it's pertaining to Israel, not to the body of Christ. Israel is never said to be caught up to forever be with the Lord. However, Paul reveals that the body of Christ will be caught up. Paul says that for the body of Christ, the redemption of our body is the adoption for us. And here's the difference. Let's look in Romans 8, verse 23. Romans 8, 23, Romans 8, 23 says, and not only they, but but ourselves also, which have the fruits of the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Israel's adoption and our adoption are different, so they can't be the same. So don't be fooled by tricks of deceivers who intend to derail your confidence in God's Word and what He says, the King James Bible. Our adoption is the redemption of our body. When Christ catches us up into the air to forever be with the Lord, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. That's the redemption of our body. All right, we're just getting close to closing here, but let me just, there's one short topic, one other question that I wanted to get into before we close for the day. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. In that verse, Paul says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, here's the loaded question that Mr. J, again, if you weren't here the other day, this is not talking about anybody I have any weekly contact with or anything, just because of the name. It's not anybody that I have ever seen or we're calling him Mr. J here because in Facebook he was asking these questions, trying to lure people with these loaded questions, and we're giving people answers to come back to when this comes up again. It's fairly common, these heresies, but the question he asks here, last one for today, is, are we, which will be in heaven, are we going to be gathered together in one with them on the earth? So what saith the scriptures? In the fullness of times, it says, when all the times have been fulfilled or dispensed, in the dispensation of the fullness of times. At that time, the the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ might gather together in one all things in Christ. Let's look at a contributing verse here that's talking, I believe, about the same thing. You listen to it. 1 Corinthians 15:24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. All rule and all authority and power. So that will not occur until at least 1,007 years from now, because they're accounted for. Those 1,000 years and 7 years are all accounted for in Scripture that have to occur. They have to happen before the end. So believe every word of God. All things in heaven will, and all things on earth will be gathered together in Him, in Christ. Do you hear what it's saying? Listen to the words that God uses. Gathered together in Him, in Christ. It doesn't say they're gathered together in heaven. It doesn't say they're gathered together on earth. But in Christ, that is a dimension of which unbelievers have no knowledge, being in Christ. It's not, they try and make like we're suddenly becoming Israel or something. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about gathering together what the two groups that he has had out there to regain authority in the universe after Satan challenged his authority. And this whole process, thousands of years, is for that purpose. And when he's done, it's all brought back together, and God, I believe there are scriptures about eternal life on the earth. That's Israel's, the earth is going to be renovated by fire, but the kingdom will still be on earth, and that's the kingdom coming from heaven onto earth. But our kingdom, the kingdom of God in heaven, the heavenly kingdom, will be in heaven still. So, but we're all in Christ. Christ is bigger than all of that. We're all in Him. So I'm done now, and if you have questions or comments about the lesson, ask those first, please, and let's make sure we're clear on these heresies and how to handle them, how to answer them when people throw them at us, try to challenge us.